Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Being the Change Now. I guess we had a little glitch.
Yes, and I'm going to ask people while we're all here together, please, when you come on this call, treat it like you would treat anything that you do with your awareness practice. You know, if you walk into the meditation hall, you're not just talking to other people in the room or, doing whatever it is. So if you would come on to the call ready to be here with Sangha, practicing awareness in an attitude of mind and heart of stillness and presence, that would be greatly appreciated.
Thank you, Sherry. And that stillness and presence is what we're looking at in meditation, in attention
yes.
on awareness. So here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Sandy in Berkeley. Good morning.
Good morning, Sandy. What are you seeing?
Well, it's the last time I was unmuted, I was distracted, and so I think that came through in our conversation. And so since then, I've been looking at a process of distraction during these calls and practicing the simple opposite, which is being undistracted or not choosing to multitask during the call.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's so important, Sandy. It really is. Can I just say a little about that? Okay. So, you know, people want so much from awareness practice, right? I want to be happy. I want my life to work. I want to stop suffering. Okay? And yet, the way I approach it is very often dictated by ego. And ego wants none of those things. So I support you 1,000%.
Yeah.
On track.
I'm glad. And I liked this week's focus, and somebody else in Sangha was talking about the opportunity for a moment of awareness, like before picking up a phone, like, or anyways, what I projected mm-hmm. was talking about, like that moment where I might grab for my devices, a moment where I could choose presence, because it's like a moment, mm-hmm. it's like a mini meditative moment in life, like sort of a break in the flow.
Yes. Yes.
And so I've been exploring those moments, or like having a cup of coffee or whatever in the morning. It's like that's also an opportunity to experiment, and it's
to just be there with your coffee, right?
Yeah.
Do you like coffee? Do you enjoy
I
coffee?
I love it so much. It's the worst.
Yeah,
part of the
exactly. And yet ego, right? Ego would have you multitask while you're having it,
right?
So you don't really have it. Sort of have it, don't really have it. Which, by the way, is why we're so often dissatisfied. Because we don't actually have what we get.
Yes, yes. I'm having this moment of kind of like coming to, or this awareness, like seeing my home. Like sometimes I can see it with fresh eyes and I'm like, I like this place. Like this place is
mm-hmm.
great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know what's handy? You can do that with the person. You know, you just look in the mirror and say, you know what? I like this person. This is a great person. Lives in a great house. Has good coffee. It's a good life.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, my dear.
No.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mandy. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Emily from Seattle.
Hey, Emily.
Hi. So, that's interesting. I was thinking about the what was just said about the multitasking. And here's how ego gets me, is that I'm like, I've been meditating more, I've been this week, and, you know, setting my timer to do the assignment and to sit and like being there for the calls, but that it's got me, it seems like this kind of battle, like ego's got me in my head. It's got my attention. So even though I'm there, even though I'm doing, you know, put the time aside to do it, it's got me in my head. And it kind of, it turns it, I hear this as a voice turning it on me and saying, well, you have a big problem with paying attention, or you're not even trying to be here. You're just, or you're not willing. But I'm very identified with that voice, because I feel like it is kind of a trying thing or a willingness thing.
And you are, you can see that you're identified with it, right? You're identified with the voice.
Yeah, but I do take it on. I feel like if there's some way I can just, you know, I'm not even counting the breaths. I'm just off in la-la land.
Yes, and I project, Emily, this is not an unfamiliar process for you, correct? Here you are,
right.
You're a willing person who sits on the cushion and does the assignment, and then there is the mind does what conditioned mind does. The attention goes to conditioned mind, and there's an identification with it. You have the ability to articulate that, and there's a sincere desire not to identify with it. And so you'll practice till you disidentify, as opposed to that place, that process you are identified with, which is there's something wrong with this, that it shouldn't be happening, there's something wrong with me. And we, as soon as we know, we get a sense of those words and those voices, we absolutely know it's self-hate, right? So yeah, we might take it on, but we know what to do, which is not to take it on, to disidentify, to redirect the attention, not to believe it.
Well, yeah, but I feel like I've been in that place so long, and that it's just not kind of moving along, and that I get back to identification with it because.
Yeah, and you know what, Emily, I've heard Cherry say this at several times, is when you're confronted with self-hate, the only thing to do is to stop it, right? There's nothing you can do except not listen to the voice. There's no prescription, no silver bullet. You hear the voice, you get identified, you disidentify. However long it takes, if we are sincerely practicing to wake up and end suffering, then as Sherry said at the beginning of the call, the only option available to us is to stop doing what causes us to suffer. At some point, we get it. I want to identify with the sincerity that is practicing and disidentify from the self-hate that says there's something wrong with me. There's actually, within quotes, nothing else to do.
Yeah, maybe that could be my practice during meditation, because I'm afraid I'm just practicing listening to the voices while I'm
right. Well, you saw that. You're seeing that now, right? There's the disidentification and the laughter, and it's really clear. What's my choice? Yeah, it's almost as if you have a child, right? You don't stop being in relationship with the child. You don't stop loving the child. There isn't an end. It's the same way with Emily with life, right? In every moment, I want to be with life. I want to be with Emily. And if there's something that is interfering with that, I'm going to do my level best to make sure that I'm with her in love, with her in compassion, with her in kindness, with life. And so that's what I keep choosing, and there's nothing else to do. What else would we be doing?
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
We're not going for an end state here, right? This is an ongoing relationship, moment by moment, to be here.
Yeah. It's just, I have to get past that judgment of not being able to pay attention or not paying attention or not
listening. We don't
listening.
Even have to get past it, right, Emily? It's what we've been talking about all week. As soon as the voice says something like, you don't pay attention, it's a clue to recognize that it's a voice of self-hate. It has nothing, does not have your interest at heart. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to overcome it. You just have to ignore it. Because it's setting it up, right? I have to overcome this judgment. Well, actually, no. You just have to direct your attention. That whole process is taking it on, and what we've identified in this conversation is you don't need to take it on.
Yeah, I guess I'm just seeing like really deeply that there's some belief there that there's something wrong with not paying attention.
Yes, we all. It's interesting how conditioning would take over our practice and say there's something wrong with not paying attention, right? And so to make us feel bad. And you could just go, oh, right, I have to pay attention, but I don't have to pay attention to you. What am I paying attention to here now?
Oh, that's great. I like that.
Right? Yeah.
I need to go. I'm going to go back and study this. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Emily.
Bye-bye.
I think we all need to go back and study that.
Yeah.
That was it. I need to pay attention, but I don't need to pay attention to you, hateful voice.
Yeah, that's it.
And the beauty of that is Emily is paying attention.
Yes, she
She's
is.
Paying attention to all of it, right? She can tell you exactly what's going on. She's right there paying attention. The voice says, you're not paying attention. We identify with the voice and go, oh, yeah, I'm not paying attention. Yeah, I am.
Well, I think what I saw when you said that, right, Cherry, is that first of all, the voice only tells us what we do. It tells
us it's not true.
It's not true, right? So I am paying attention, and then I'm told I don't. And I think that as we practice, we do learn to have attention on awareness and become aware of the voices. There's an extension past that, right? Then I don't have to pay attention to the voice anymore.
Yeah. Well, and what I want for Emily is to realize she's doing it. Mm-hmm. She's sitting there on the cushion, absolutely aware of everything that's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. That's it. Now, after a while, if you have somebody in your life who keeps saying to you, you're ugly. God, you're ugly. I can't believe how ugly you are. You know, at a certain point, you got to stop thinking you need to convince them you're not ugly.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to realize, well, if there is anything wrong, it's with that.
Right.
Right? Yeah. It's not, I don't know, maybe that's too far out there, but it's to realize that if you're sitting there on that cushion and you know every single thing that's happening, You know exactly what that voice is saying to you. You know exactly where that lands and how what sensation that triggers in the body and how and the label that goes. You know all of that. You are there. You are paying attention.
Yes.
I just hope everybody can get that, because otherwise we're doing it. We're being told we're not doing it, and we believe we're not doing it. That's a good way to stay stuck for a really long time.
Mm-hmm. Which is also why we are driving home attention on awareness, because even if there's an awareness of, the voices, that does not imply not paying attention.
Exactly, and it doesn't imply that's the only thing going on.
Right.
So the voice is talking, and I'll bet you if Emily was here with us, she would acknowledge that. Yeah, she knows it's light in the room, and what is in the room with her, and the sounds of whatever is around, and she's aware of all of that too, and aware of the voice.
Yes.
Yeah, that's expanded awareness. And that's attention going from thing to thing to thing to thing in that awareness. Yep, that's it.
It's wonderful. And here's our next caller, Sherry. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Sri Devi from Philadelphia.
hey, Sri Devi, I'm going to try to calm down a little bit here so I don't start yelling at you right away, okay? If I do start yelling at you, you know it's only because I'm so excited and enthusiastic about attention and awareness.
Okay.
All right. What's going on?
So I'm looking at the being happiness. That mm-hmm. was in the assignment for the week, and seeing mm-hmm. how deep the conditioning is around what happiness is and how mm-hmm. much that has set up suffering, because the process
Ooh,
has been, I need to get to a certain feeling. There mm-hmm. is this feeling that's out there. Sri Devi, mm-hmm. go get it, and go get it by mm-hmm. drinking, by eating, by doing all of these things. And mm-hmm. just this belief that whatever is happening right now, if I'm not feeling that feeling, it's not okay. And I've been looking at it. I don't even know what that feeling is. I wonder if I've ever felt this elusive idea of what happiness is.
Oh, Sri Devi, this is so perfect. Okay, this is so perfect. So here's what you're closing in on. If you didn't know happiness, if happiness weren't who you are, you couldn't get talked into pursuing it.
Mm.
But because it is what you are, it is your authentic nature, ego comes in and takes that over and says, okay, and you're not alone in this, right? Just turn on a television and watch a commercial or two, okay? Or pick up something and read it or listen to it. You know, just engage in culture at all, and you'll realize, yeah, this is everybody. Okay? So ego says, I can get you that feeling. What you need to do is, and you've just left Sri Devi, the authentic yeah. nature, and go with ego to pursue it. You have to get the right job. You have to get the right house. You have to get the right person. You have to get the right activities. You have to get the right amount of money in the bank. You have to look this way. You have to act that way. And above all, you have to feel this way, that getting all of those things will never provide.
Yeah.
So, yeah, big cause of suffering.
Yeah. And it was interesting because I was meditating right before this call, and I was, you know, watching the process, and I watched, as soon as I finished the meditation and logged on to the call, just logging on, I felt this shift of just the unconditional, of being uh-huh. with Sangha and feeling uh-huh. safe and loved. And it was just, you know, uh-huh. on hold, you know, with the background music, but I was there. Uh-huh. And
yes.
I just went, okay, yeah, I get it. So there's this whole conditional that I'm convinced to go after, as you were sharing. And then there's the unconditional where I'm just sitting here and being surrounded by people, you know, who are all going for the same thing. And the only other experience I feel like I have of that is when I'm out in nature. It's like being with Sangha and being in nature, I'm right there.
Yes.
And there's the being happy. Yeah.
That's right. That's right, Sri Devi. And the important thing about that, the connection to me that is so significant, is that when you're in that place with Sangha, when you're out in nature, you can turn your attention to your experience of happiness.
Mm.
That's what it feels like. And it doesn't mean that there isn't the, oh, goody, I got a new car, or, oh, goody, I got that job I want, or, oh, goody, right? And there's that rush of excitement, and which is, for most people, immediately taken over by ego. But that's different from that, just that underlying what it feels like for life to be animating us. That's the happiness that we're talking about. And another little place to look with this, when something happens and there is that rush of happiness, notice where you feel it.
Mm. Okay. Yeah.
In the same place. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Very happy for you, Sri Devi.
I'm feeling, being very happy in this moment as well.
Being happiness now. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Thank
Thank you.
Thanks, Sri Devi. And here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Liesl calling from New Hampshire.
Hey, Liesl.
Hi. I'm very happy to be here, and I am really loving this assignment. I'm seeing so much. I don't even know what to talk about first. But I think for me, I'm having a really beautiful experience of the quality of awareness and that spaciousness as being a holding. And what I'm practicing with is allowing myself to like relax, like almost a physical relaxation as well as a mental relaxation, like into that spaciousness of life, which is sort of holding everything. It's holding the whole experience.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's such a beautiful word, right? Holding. We often say container of awareness, right? There's the that when we have our attention on awareness, we experience the quality of what we are, right? And that's why we say the quality of our life is determined by the focus of the attention. So I'm attending to this quality of spaciousness, and we can almost feel, as you said, physically moving into that space as that space, right? There's a physical movement as well as, so when the attention is not on conditioned mind, not on that clench that we were talking about, when the clench sort of releases, then we feel that sense of relaxation, that sense of expansion, and that sense of everything is contained in this.
Right, exactly. And practicing it so consistently is really helping me to, it's that word you always use, calibrate. You always use that word, and I love that. To calibrate to that as like the place in which I want to live, like the state in which I want to live from.
That's right. Yeah. Yes.
And it's spilling over into like what I'm choosing to eat and am I choosing to exercise? And it's just like all of those things are happening more easily, not because I'm focusing on any one of them in particular, but just because I'm calibrating to wanting to make the choices that allow me to stay in that spaciousness.
Mm. Well, you're pointing to something really important, right, Liesl? One, that when we talk about the quality of egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate is tense, serious, grim, lack, efforting, doing, absence, scarcity, all of that. So doing from that place produces that experience. But if your attention is on awareness, and that's where the identification is, then the quality of that is not harmful, right? It's good.
Right.
And so goodness is the experience of awareness being doing. And so the choices are easier. It's relaxed. It's for life. It's life-affirming. We have that ability to make choices like eating or exercise that come from that place of goodness. And therefore, it's inherently good.
Yes, and it's so much easier, too, to see and to feel physically in my body when that choice is being co-opted or being driven by ego.
Yes.
And they're such two different things. I could choose to do the same thing that might ultimately be good for my body, but where I'm acting from, or the space in which I'm acting from, makes a very big difference on how it lands in my body.
Absolutely. It's not what but how, right? I do the same thing.
Right.
How I do it makes all the difference. And from awareness, it's a sense of it's clean, it's clear, it's good, it's relaxed, it's effortless, it's easy.
It's
and then
joyful.
It's joyful. And the other place is a suffering place. And as you said, the more you practice attention on awareness, the more that experience of contentment is where we want to be, and it's more available, and we come from there more. The other state is a choice we don't want to make.
Yeah, and it gets easier and easier to
it
see
sure
that.
Does.
So thank you so much to everyone for this beautiful practice that helps us
thank you,
to be there. All right. Thank you.
Ashwini.
Uh-huh.
If we had one for that, a little line for that, it would be the smile, God loves you.
Yes.
Just, that's what you two were describing.
Yeah.
Right? It's just when we're here, it's just, it's so easy and everything happens and we feel great and it's, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think we have time for at least one more caller. So here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Next caller? Okay.
Well,
let's try for a minute.
Let's all right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Okay, well,
should I take this personally, Ashwini? Should I?
I don't think so.
Nobody wants to talk to me?
Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi there. I guess third time is a charm. This is Sharon in Barbados.
Hey, Sharon.
Yeah, you guys are saving my life now because we are suffering here, trying not to suffer. I know suffering is a choice.
Well, I've been reading about you, and so I know it is a rugged go. Yeah.
Well, I thought of you in the forest fires, you know, and I thought about how you endured that. But this practice is really helping me to get through. You know, just the focusing on the present, you know, paying attention to, ego and one that wants to make things into a catastrophe.
Right. To take what is really difficult, an actual really difficult circumstance, and just turn it into a suffering misery for you.
Yeah. And everybody here is suffering too. I mean, it's not like you can't talk to anybody.
Oh, right.
They're all just in the same state. Everybody's just cleaning, shoveling, cleaning. That's all we can do really, and just keep going. But on the meditation, I have to say that my meditation goes through a certain pattern, and that is the first five, you know, I'm fine, I'm settling in, and then, or the first 10 minutes, the next 15, I go to extreme tiredness, but I just stay with the breath, keep going. And the last 10, I'm into full relaxation. And, you know, this is when the warm fuzzy happens, when I do feel. And I have always felt that, especially that last 5 minutes. It's a blissful feeling. And as far as the tiredness, I don't know what to do about it, but I'm going to take from somebody playbook that I've been hearing on the radio show, and that is, use it as a koan, you know, and see what comes up. Because I have had this for months, if not years. So
yeah, if I may, one of the first things that my teacher described to me about meditation, because sleepiness, boredom, fear, you know, those are all the places where people quit, that they just are. And probably it's been suggested to you inside your own head that you could quit because this is just miserable, right? Yeah. And so what he said was, what we want to do is go so deep that we get to that place that's right before falling asleep and we stay there awake.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've doped out over the years is that what he's describing is such a state of relaxation that the only other time we get that relaxed is when we go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to sleep, as you've noticed, is not a requirement. And so perhaps just to stay there in that deep relaxation and practice attention on awareness.
Yeah, I mean, once I actually think, you know what, maybe I should sleep. So I give up. I lay down. I can't go to sleep. I can't go to sleep.
No, no, because you're not sleepy.
What right. you're saying is the way to go, and I'm definitely going to work with that. I'm really, really glad
I'm very,
to call today.
I'm very excited to hear how that goes for you, because it really is a powerful, powerful place in practice. And for anybody who heard the other two, the boredom and the fear, as the, you know, the big three that ego uses against people, each of those is as powerful an opportunity as the one you're describing. Those, the boredom and the fear, are just not quite as relaxing.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you so much. So nice to meet
you.
You
are so
today.
Welcome.
All right.
Breathe carefully.
Will
breathe
do.
Carefully, huh?
Will
All
do.
Right.
Will
thank
do.
You, Sharon.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Thanks, Sharon. And Sherry, that brings us to the end of the show and the end of this week. We will be getting a new assignment at noon today, Pacific, and we'll talk to everyone next week.
All right. Thanks so much, everybody. Go happy.
Go happy, and we hope we see most of all of you on
Lots
Sunday.
Lots of folks on Sunday
yes.
for the big International Day of No Self-Hate.
That's exactly right.
That would be a good thing to do. You don't want to miss that.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Take care.
All right. Thanks, Ashwini. Thanks, everybody. Bye.